And I don't know. I started the show asking about what might be a possible, you know, solution beyond anything I've suggested, but I just keep coming back to it. It's the only thing I know. And what you're talking about, a whole different way of life. You know, there's a group of libertarians now that actually have a website, and they're talking about taking over a state and creating a libertarian state. They've come to that point. Mm-hmm. And I could see, you know, other folks actually doing similar things in different states for different reasons, but kind of coming together. You know, if you have a certain belief and philosophy and so forth, well, you know, go to that particular place. The trouble is right now, because of the federal government is taking all our tax money, it's homogenizing America. It used to be that we had 50 states and they could try this and that, and there'd be 50 experiments going on all the time. But now the way the tax and money structure is, we've become homogenized to a large extent in terms of our capacity to try different things. You know, Oregon just tried to do, socialized health care up there. And sure, it may have been a disaster, but, you know, these are different times. Maybe it would have been, maybe it wouldn't have been, but now we'll never know. We don't have the chance to experiment. Before we can do some of the things that you're talking about, I think the power structure is going to have to shift, and I don't know exactly what it's going to take for it to actually shift, but I think it has a lot to do with the money structure.
Well, it certainly does, but it also takes people being able to imagine another way, and that's where we get hung up, because we're creatures of habit, and we tend to get in our little ruts, and we forget, and we also don't have any way to experience the other way, and if nothing else, just by taking some time to say, yeah, there's another way to organize ourselves. It's called the circle rather than the pyramid. And, you know, to get people's imaginations stirred up again so they can actually say yes, you know. I mean, because all the technology that we need to enjoy these lives is out there.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's non-toxic technology. It doesn't, suck up the resources. I'd like to mention the air car. theaircar.com, if anybody wants to know how we can have cars and actually return cleaner air to the environment and not suck up any resources, go to that website. I mean, once you understand that the technology is there, the creativity is there, the rest is changing the power structure so we can actually create from our highest visions rather than settling for the lesser of two evils over and over and over again.
Well, I've suggested that maybe it's beyond our powers to actually change the power structure, but I'm kind of wondering if the power structure may collapse upon itself, overextend itself, be too arrogant, make some bold moves, and then suddenly find that things aren't going their way.
And all the more reason to be ready with some new ideas, some new, you know, because when you have a collapse of power, it's a very vulnerable time. And there's very opportune time for people of, you know, equally limited consciousness to move into the void. And therefore, we really need to be preparing ourselves with an alternative vision, which is, let's get out of this hierarchical, I know better than you do, and I will decide whether you drink fluoride, or I will decide whether you get vaccinated, or I will decide, whatever it is those control freaks want to be the ones to decide. If we're not aware that we actually can create structures that are inclusive rather than exclusive, now's the time to be thinking about that, because, you know, I do think, you know, we are going to see a collapse of power, and I don't want to see martial law replace it, because we haven't got the imagination to do something better.
That's right. I've said right now, if we managed to throw all the rascals out, we'd have just a whole new slew of rascals in there the very next day.
Exactly, because that's how we've been training everybody.
Right. Well, thank you, Theodore.
Well, thank you for being available for the conversation, Tom. And, I also wanted to suggest maybe, you know, with April 15th coming up, maybe it would be a good time to bring your friend back on who does the tax awareness. I've been giving his website and others out, and other tax websites out to people, but it, you know, might be good to refocus our attention back on the taxes and that we actually do have some choices.
Very good point. There were some great articles in the Sentinel about people talking about that very same issue and so forth. I think, keep listening for the Constitutional Perspective on KSCO. We're going to try to get Joseph Bannister. He's the IRS agent.
Okay.
That said goodbye to the IRS because they basically could not prove that it really exists. And Theodore, we're getting right to the end of our program.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night, one and all. This is Tom Cloney. I'll be with you next week, Monday, 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Well, quite a hum there that's going on.
You have a hum?
Quite a strong one.
Yeah. No, I had it. It could be that the fax is not right.
Uh-huh.
In the house, if the fax isn't right, it'll do that.
Well, good night.
Good night. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And certainly we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for a little while. We have with us a fascinating, fascinating guest this evening. Her name is Barbara Hartwell, and Barbara she has an amazing, amazing story to tell. You know, we would like to believe that, our government is totally good and the governments on the other side are totally bad. And that, of course, is how we will win the people around, because we're so good and they're so bad. And, of course, there are a lot of wonderful people in America and a lot of wonderful people in our government, but there is within certain branches of our Central Intelligence Agency and certain branches of our NSA and our Special Forces and many other groups, people who have a different vision of the world. And these are not good people. These are people who are totally pragmatic, who have no sense of right and wrong, and who will actually recruit people into their organizations for evil purposes. And that is what we're going to be talking about tonight with Barbara. Barbara, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Stan, and I'd just like to make a comment before we begin the main bulk of the show. I wanted to say that, I've done a lot of radio shows over a period of many years, and I have to compliment you on the fact that you are an excellent interviewer. you let me speak. Some of the shows that I've been on, they have an agenda, okay? They have an agenda, and I've been set up more times than I can count, okay? So I just want to say that I really appreciate your style. The way you do things.
Well, thank you so much. And, of course, I've been set up the same way, you know. And but, you know, this is because people want to discredit what I have to say. But I don't want to discredit what you have to say, because what you say has certainly an air of truth to it. And I've heard similar stories from so many places. So now, how was it that you happened to end up working for the Central Intelligence Agency?
Well, I think we talked about this on the...
Well, remember, now, this is an entirely new
audience.
We have people up in the Great Northwest. They never heard of Barbara Hartwell.
Okay.
So don't be afraid. Just pretend that we'd never talked before.
Okay, I'll be redundant.
You be redundant.
All right. Well, I come out of a family, what's known as a CIA family. As most of your listeners are probably aware, the Central Intelligence Agency came into being in 1947 out of the old OSS, Office of Strategic Services. But what many people don't realize is that the core of the CIA was formed by Nazi scientists, Nazi doctors that came over after World War II under Project Paperclip. And that's the year, 1947, that the OSS was turned into the CIA. There are certain families that have been in on this since the get-go, basically, and my family was one of them. And so we had intergenerational involvement in the intelligence community. My both sides of my family, my maternal grandfather came out of OSS. Then I had other family members on that side come into the, you know, CIA. On my father's side of the family, he came out of G2, which is military intelligence, army intelligence, and he was a cryptographer, known back in those days, this was during World War II, as a translator. So they called the cryptographers, that's when the science of cryptography or cryptology, it's known under various names, that's codes. Eventually it came under the province of the NSA, National Security Agency, and many people, up to like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, believe it or not, many people had never heard of the National Security Agency. They called it no such agency. That's what we called it in the intelligence community, because people just didn't know about it. Now everybody knows about it, since the Echelon project has become public knowledge. That's a surveillance, satellite surveillance project. But anyway, my family, I was deeply involved, and they tend to recruit people right out of family bloodlines. People recruit their own children in these agencies, and that's how it started.
All right, fine. Now, for our listeners out there, Operation Paperclip was a secret program to bring Nazi scientists into the United States following the Second World War. And many of these people, of course, should have been tried for war crimes, but of course, and they never could have come in legally, because, of course, the State Department had them classified as Nazi criminals. But the OSS worked to help many of the Nazis to escape to South America, but many of them were brought here. And they actually, if there was to be a Nazi was to be allowed to come in violation of the law, they put a paperclip on his file, and that's how people working knew that this was to be one of the favorite few. And they brought in the Nazi scientists von Braun, many of the people who worked in the rocket industry, but then they brought in many people who were working in biologicals, and they continued working on these macabre organisms to create illness and disease, and they were actually working with a mycoplasm. And of course, you must understand that everybody with AIDS, almost everybody with the AIDS disease, as well as having HIV, has mycoplasma infection, and they've made this much more pathogenic. And then there was another group that were brought in, and they were working on mind control. And if you'd like more information on that, we have it in a book called The Medusa File, and it goes into Operation Paperclip and gives you references to the of the books of volumes that have been written extensively about this. And the fact that most Americans have never heard of this simply reflects the degree of control that exists through the media over what the American people think. So pick up the story from there. Barbara, you were recruited into the CIA through your parents. At what age did you get started?
Well, I have to tell you, Stan, I think we talked about this before on a couple of the other programs, but I was chosen before birth, all right? They actually had people such as my mother, a lovely woman, who would have led a terrible life because she never had a choice, you know. They were using certain women that came out of these CIA families and bloodlines as breeders. In other words, their job was to have children, you know, have children that would then be recruited into these black projects. So we didn't have much of a choice. Can you imagine having these government people say, oh, we have this person, we are doing genetic engineering, we are arranging marriages to make sure that these people are going to come out and serve the government in these black projects. That's how far ago it got started. And I just turned 52, actually, this month. So that's how long I've been involved. And this is something that people, I think, have trouble understanding the magnitude of this and the depth of the pathology, you know, the psychopathology that would have to be in place in these government operations for them to take a human being and believe that they own that human being or have even created that human being. That was the level of the arrogance that was operating and still is.
Well, you know, this sounds like so such an amazing story, but I've talked to other people who've been in the CIA who've told me similar incredible, incredible stories. So don't discount this at all. And incidentally, you can go to Barbara's website. It's Barbara Hartwell, what is it, .com?
.com.
Mm-hmm. And you really, in fact, when was that picture of you taken? That's a beautiful
picture. Okay, now that picture, the picture at the top, okay, that picture was taken in 1998, I believe. So now, oddly enough, you know, people always tell me, "Well, you couldn't be 52," but I am. I think it seems to run in my family that we look much, much younger than we are. I think also some of this is the genetic engineering. It's pretty amazing to me because I just don't age. It's an odd thing. I just simply don't seem to age as a normal person does.
Well, anyway, now, what was your job for the CIA?
Uh-huh.
What were you actually doing for them?
Okay, well, I had, you have to understand that the CIA has something, especially in these black operations. They consider an operative an investment, all right, especially if they've had you since childhood. And let me just go into a little brief background so you can understand that. I know you had Duncan O'Finnan on the program. I heard the show. It's a great show, by the way. And he was talking about something sort of similar. I mean, he had a similar background in terms of his family as I did. A little different. But just that they train you since you're a child. And my training started at the age of 3 that I remember, okay? My formal training. My father trained me. He was my first handler or trainer. I had military drills. I was meant to memorize. I had memory exercises, memorizing the capitals of the United States, all the states and the capitals, putting puzzles together. I was timed on these things. I had these training, ballet lessons, gymnastics, you know, physical training for discipline, sort of a charm school type thing, you know. Charm school boot camp combination. So that I developed all these skills that I would later need to use. And as they do it, they determine, and this is the CIA and the operations that they're running, they will determine, they will do a psychological profile on an individual from a very early age to determine what your talents are, what your character is, what your skills are. They will determine all these things. And they have something called multiple use. So they will try to utilize an individual in as many ways as they can to get the most bang for the buck, so to speak. In other words, they make an investment in this individual. They invest millions of dollars in the training of an operative, especially when it starts in childhood. And they want a return on the investment. Okay? Now you asked me some of the areas that I was utilized in. The major area would be psychological operations. And that involved, creating profiles, debriefing of military and intelligence personnel. Also, I was used as a propagandist. I had training in media, electronic media, print media.
And you actually had your own radio program, or was it?
I had a radio program in Greenwich, Connecticut, for like maybe 5 years or so when I was living in Greenwich.
Now, were you actually then putting out CIA propaganda?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I had a TV show, too. I had actually several radio programs, and I had a television show on Cablevision of Connecticut. And these programs were all sponsored by the CIA. I was trained. They gave me the on-camera training, all that.
But I think what the American people have to realize is that so much of what they get off of radio and television and in our publications and in books is what the CIA wants you to get.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what a lot of people don't realize, and this is one of the things that always makes me laugh, people go to the supermarket, right, and they pick up one of the tabloid papers, Star, National Enquirer. You know, a lot of the information in those tabloids is planted by the CIA. And the strange thing about it is that a lot of the information in those papers is actually true. And what they do is they put a slant on it to make it look absurd. And they put a sideshow atmosphere around it so that anybody reading it automatically picks it up and says, oh, they're laughing. Oh, what a joke. And some of the information in those tabloids is the truth. And they do that in order to make a sideshow of things that people, they don't want people to believe. And I'm sure you can understand how that works. That's propaganda.
Sure, and that's, of course, just sort of this double negative. In other words, let's say people talking about a conspiracy, and why that's just so ridiculous to think there's a conspiracy out there. You know, they probably believe in black helicopters, and you know, they believe in the reptilian people and UFOs. And so you demonize the people with all these things to the point where most people are incapable of thinking honestly. For our listeners out there, we carry amazing book. It's based upon the papers of a Mr. Robert Crowley, who was deputy assistant director of covert operations for the CIA. They're the people who kill people and assassinate world leaders. But he has actually gave his papers to a friend of mine, a Mr. Gregory Douglas, to be used after he died. And of course, these papers then were used as the basis for a book we carry called Regicide. And it includes a list of 4,000 people that Mr. Crowley felt, people in this country, Mr. Crowley felt he could use. It's amazing how many of those people are in television, in the print media, in the media itself, influencing what the people believe. One of the people in there just happened to have been my next door neighbor, a surgeon who practices in the town where I practice. His name was included in that list. In fact, his exact address is considered there. So I think the list is fairly accurate. I had reasons of my own to believe that he'd been involved in intelligence work. But you see, it was illegal for the CIA to work in this country. But who were you going to complain to? The CIA. If you did, why, you might very well you might have a serious physical accident. Does the CIA actually kill people, Barbara?
Oh, they absolutely do. There's no question about it. You know, what I laughed about, I often visit the Central Intelligence Agency website. You know, they have a website. and they have like FAQ, frequently asked questions. And one of the questions is, does the CIA do assassinations? Absolutely not. We don't do assassinations.
No, they hire the mafia and other people to do it.
Yeah, they hire out. They hire guns or whatever, and they do assassinations. They have operatives. In fact, Chip Tatum, I think we talked about him.
Right. Well, why don't you tell our listeners, because they don't know who Chip Tatum was.
Okay. Well, Chip Tatum was a CIA operative. He worked for the Central Intelligence Agency for 25 years. He also worked for the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency. He was heavily involved in the Iran-Contra operation and all that. Anyway, he was, among other things, he was recruited out of the military, and he was a CIA assassin. He gave me papers, which were later stolen, by the way. There was a break-in. That's another long story. But they came in, they broke in, and they stole these documents. He had given me documents. Among the documents was an order to neutralize Ross Perot, signed by George Bush Sr. Chip refused to do the assassination because it was an American citizen, and he got in a lot of trouble for a lot of reasons, for refusing to follow some of these orders. And he admitted to me, and he admitted publicly, that he had assassinated 17 people.
Well, I don't know how my listeners remember, but when Ross Perot was running for president, initially he was running, and then he dropped out. And the reason he dropped out is because he knew that they were going to assassinate him. And you remember there was talk about, he said, they're going to disrupt my daughter's wedding. And I remember Rush Limbaugh just ridiculing this idea that, you know, Ross Perot thought that they were out to get him. He was a little paranoid. Then at the very end, he came back into the race, having lost certainly a lot of the impetus he had had before. But he, of course, was able to pull enough votes away from George Herbert Walker Bush so that Bill Clinton got in. Bill Clinton only got 43% of the votes because Ross Perot picked up pretty close to 20% of the vote. He would have had a lot more than that if he'd not dropped out. And he dropped out because he knew that they put plans to do him in. And that was what Chip Tatum was all about. We have interviews with Chip where he tells that story. He's actually disappeared now, hasn't he?
Well, yes. For all practical purposes, he has. And let me repeat, I saw the document, okay? I saw the document signed by George Herbert Walker Bush. I saw the document. And not only that, but, Chip and I, there were some operations that were happening that, let's say, they overlapped, okay? Chip was involved in some of the same operations, as was Oswald LeWinter, you know, ex-CIA operative Oswald LeWinter, who's now in exile in Portugal. I've had many people out of the intelligence community who are out of it now, okay, in hiding or they're in exile or whatever you want to say, who've shared information with me, exchanged information with me, and have absolutely corroborated things that I know to be fact. And Chip Tatum was certainly one of those people.
In other words, another interesting person we actually interviewed was a man named L.D. Brown. Now, he would not come on the radio with me, but by this time he'd given a number of interviews, and somebody had obviously given him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Mm-hmm.
But he had actually been recruited by Bill Clinton into the CIA. And Bill Clinton, first of all, he was supposed to be involved with drug smuggling. He wouldn't do that. So they told him he could really be a real patriot if he would kill a drug smuggler in Mexico. And so he figured, you know, drug smuggler bad, doing a lot of harm. And so he was willing, under the CIA auspices, to kill this drug smuggler. And he went to Mexico, went to the hotel where he was supposed to get the information. The agent there pointed out a man, but he wasn't a Mexican. He was an American. And he was there with his wife and two children. And so L.D. Brown, former state trooper in Arkansas, said, no way, I guess I'm not going to have a career with the CIA. And he left. Now, years later, he found out who that man was. His name was Terry Reid. He wrote a book called Compromised, Bush, Clinton, and the CIA.
What a surprise.
But Clinton and Mina Airport.
Yes.
In fact, we carry that book, and you can still get copies of it. It's we don't carry it any longer, but we do have my interviews with Terry Reid, a number of them. Of course, you could see why they would want him killed. Does this sort of thing go on in America? Yes, it does, ladies and gentlemen, because we've allowed the evil to be there at sometimes at the highest levels of our government. And anybody would like to get that list of CIA assets here in the United States, the book is called Regicide. If you want more information, our telephone number, 800-544-8927. It's really the story of how the CIA killed President Kennedy. Written from the CIA's point of view, it's really the smoking gun, and of course they killed anybody who knew anything about it. That's how they've been able to keep it quiet. Of course, they had the full support of J. Edgar Hoover of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and I'm sure there were FBI agents and CIA agents who knew what was going on, but they didn't dare speak out. It could have cost them their lives. In a similar manner, there were at least several CIA agents, FBI agents, who contacted David Shipper before 9/11, and at least one or two contacted a friend of mine, Dr. Garth Nicholson, who's a frequent guest here, and told them about the coming attack on Manhattan. They told Shippers the attack would be on Lower Manhattan in early September. They told Dr. Garth Nicholson it would be on the Pentagon on the 11th of September, the exact date. But they were afraid to come forward themselves because it would mean the end of their career, the end of their job, and it could be the end of their lives. And both of these men, of course, were out there trying to get the information out. And that is why the president will not allow an independent investigation of what happened on 9/11, why he insisted on, appointing the chairman of the committee and made sure that there were enough people on the committee to block these other people being allowed to come in. You would think that they would want to find out exactly what happened. If there are FBI agents out there who knew there was going to be an attack, that they would want them to testify. No, they do not want to reveal. They want to conceal. That's what it's all about. And, of course, you remember that there's a wonderful book written by an ex-CIA agent called Robert Baer. And in that book, it's called See No Evil, and we do carry that. He said that a CIA top official had told a friend of his off the record that when the dust settled after September 11th, the American people would look at what happened on September 11th, not as a failure for our intelligence committee, but as a triumph. A triumph? How could the death of 3,000 people be a triumph? Why, we wouldn't be in war today if it hadn't been for what happened on September 11th. This is the sort of thing that our tax money is going for, because the good people are not involved in the process of government, and too many people have abandoned our country to the evil. Would you say that would be a fair statement, Barbara?
Oh, absolutely. I can remember, as a matter of fact, an interview that I was there when Chip Tatum gave this interview. It was a video interview, and he said, in all the years that I worked for this government, I have seen nothing but corruption. Okay? And it's very difficult, I can tell you, it's very difficult to get out of these operations. You cannot just walk away. You have to take a stand, and you have to fight your way out, and you have to let them know, you have to put them on notice that you will fight to the death, if necessary, for your freedom and for the freedom of our country. Once they know you're serious, then they'll take you seriously. Otherwise, you're toast.
Well, now, have they ever threatened your life?
many, many times. Usually the attempts on my life were not preceded by a threat. I mean, they have an intimidation tactic. They have a whole range of intimidation tactics. It's called a neutralization campaign. I'm sure you've heard that word before.
No, I really haven't, but I know how it works.
Okay. Well, it's called
Go ahead.
It's called a neutralization campaign. And basically, they'll start out with sort of lower-level harassment tactics. You know, it's like the KGB. Many of these tactics are very similar to what the KGB used on dissidents in the Soviet Union. They'll start out with, tapping the phones and placing you under surveillance, and then they'll send people to visit you, in other words, to try to intimidate you or give warnings. If you don't respond to those things, then they'll step it up, ratchet up to coercion. Sometimes they'll use like physical coercion. If that doesn't work, then they'll then they'll actually say, well, there's no other way but to eliminate the individual, which means death. And they'll put out something on one of their operatives if they have decided that the operative is a rogue, has gotten out, walked away, cannot be re-recruited, cannot be bribed, cannot be blackmailed, you know, any of those things, does not respond to threats, then they'll go on a real campaign to try to eliminate you. And yes, they do these things. As God is my witness, I would not lie about this. I have lived through this for many years, since 1994. That was the year that I actually broke out of the black operations. And yeah, they'll come after your family. They'll threaten your family. They make your life basically what I can only call a living hell.
You know, I heard that twice this last week. One from Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin. Do you know Colonel Marvin?
No.
All right. Well, he was with Special Forces. He has some amazing stories to tell. He was actually recruited to kill Prince Sihanouk when he was in Special Forces in Vietnam. And, of course, when he didn't do that, why, they sent a division, I think, of a Vietnamese headed by an American officer who was told he was a rogue officer and he had to be eliminated. And fortunately, he was able to circumvent that and survive. And he's come back and he's tried to tell many of the stories of things he's been involved in. And of course, what they did was they would call his wife and say, well, we know where your grandchildren are.
Oh, yeah, and that's how they do it.
And then I heard the same story this week from April Oliver, who wrote the true story of Operation Tailwind. And many of our listeners may remember that a couple of years ago when CNN and Peter Arnett put out this story of the unit that was dropped into Laos, and their job was to kill deserters and, of course, to use sarin gas, find out how it would work on the other side. And it's a fact, we have a four-tape set on that, complete with the testimony of Admiral Thomas Moore, who admitted the whole story was true. But, of course, a couple of the people from Special Forces came out and admitted it was true, and one of them, of course, then retracted his statement. And when April asked him why, he said, well, they called and said they knew where my grandchildren were, and he said, I just wasn't going to risk their lives for this story, because nobody really cares. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment here to continue this amazing story. We welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and certainly our guest this evening is Barbara Hartwell. And, of course, you can go to her website and pull down a number of essays, excellent material she has there, and at barbarahartwell.com, I guess.
.com,
it is.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Barbara, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, yeah, many of our listeners may remember seeing a television program that was on every weekend. It was called The Pretender. And it was the story of these children who were actually kidnapped and taken to an institute where, of course, they were subjected to various forms of torture and they were being trained for some government agency. And, of course, the story would always have the flashbacks to what happened in childhood and then, of course, the race as this young man who had been trained by our government to be a pretender would be escaping from the people who were trying to track him down. And most people who saw that really believe this was all make-believe. It really wasn't. I've heard that story time and again. In fact, we did an interview just this last week with Dr. Colin Ross, who was a psychiatrist. I believe he practices in New Mexico or Arizona, who's 20 years has been treating a lot of the victims who've come out of the CIA mind control programs. And, of course, they would get, eventually they had been programmed to forget so much of what had happened. They had actually created split personalities or dissociative personalities in them. And but eventually the truth, they begin to get these memories and flashbacks and begin to understand what has really happened to them. Now, there's an organized effort out there to say, oh my goodness, this is false memory. This is not real. These things are just imagined. These ideas have been implanted in the people by psychologists, and perhaps in some instances it's true. But what is really so interesting about several of the major psychiatrists pushing this idea of false memory just happened to come from the Central Intelligence Agency. One of them was Jocelyn West, Dr. Jocelyn West. It's not no accident at all that when Timothy McVeigh was in the prison, before he went to trial, there was a psychiatrist that came to see him. And, of course, Timothy knew this psychiatrist. He didn't want to see him. And I was told this by a man who was very, very close to him. That psychiatrist was Dr. Jocelyn West. He was a CIA psychiatrist who was in all of these mind control experiments. And he's the one that's out there leading this organization saying, there is no false memory. These are all false memories. There's no real things that are going on of CIA conditioning and torture of children to bring them under their control and create these dissociated personalities. Have you ever run into any of that at all, Barbara?
Oh, absolutely. And Jolien West, who you just mentioned, I think he died about 3 years ago, I believe now. Okay? He certainly was among the foremost of the CIA psychiatrists. Personally, and unfortunately for me, I was sent to these CIA psychiatrists throughout my entire life.
Did you ever meet Jolly West?
No. Not that I remember. You have to remember that a lot of the memories are wiped out, but no, I don't believe I had the pleasure.
Wait a minute. You said a lot of the memories are wiped out. What do you mean by that?
Well, when you're programmed for some of these operations, and they do compartmentalize your personality, they actually wipe the memories of certain missions and operations. They use a number of techniques, one of which is hypnosis. The other is drugs. And the third technique would be psychotronic technology. That's technology that interfaces between the brain and like a computer, or high-tech weaponry in certain cases. So they have something called electronic dissolution of memory, which can actually wipe the memory. They also have drugs. Now, one of the drugs that I know about, and again, I'll bring up Chip Tatum. He's really a gold mine of information, and he filled me in when I first met him in 1997. He sort of filled in some of the blanks for me when I had a lot of questions about the specific things such as the drugs. And I had asked him, "What do you think they used on me?" Because there was one memory that I had which was extremely disturbing of something that happened, and this happened around, I believe it was 1995 this happened, and this was about a year after I had broken out, and I was abducted, okay? What I'm telling you is that I was sleeping in my bed. This is about 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sleeping in my bed when all of a sudden I was jolted awake, and a bag was shoved over my head, okay, like a hood, like a cloth hood, shoved over my head. I lost consciousness, I was thrown into the back of a car. Okay, these agents just grabbed me, abducted me out of my home, took me, they drugged me, which is why I passed out. They took me to a facility to be debriefed under drugs, because I would not cooperate, and the next thing I remember, I woke up. I guess it was the next morning, I woke up. And I had bruises on my body. I had needle marks. And I described this incident to Chip, and he told me some of the drugs that they use for these abductions, and also to get people, to make them unconscious so they would talk. And one of the drugs that's commonly used is scopolamine. Have you heard of that?
Sure.
The scopolamine drip, okay? And then there's another drug that's even more insidious. It's called, the colloquial name for it, I believe it's South American, and it's a member of the nightshade family. It's a little green bulb, and it's called Burundanga. Okay, it's sort of similar to scopolamine, and that they used this drug on people. They could take somebody off the street. Okay, not forget about just one of their operatives that they needed to get under control. I mean, Chip had told me stories, and I had heard stories from other sources, and I had witnessed things, even where they would just, they could put this into a cigarette, into a drink. It's colorless, it's odorless. It's amazing. It's voodoo science, as I think of it. You know, they can give this drug to somebody, and before you know it, you're putty in their hands. I mean, you can just, they can give you instructions and you'll just follow through, and you don't have any memory of what you've done after the incident. They use this drug to blackmail people, you know, to set them up in situations to compromise them, either with prostitutes or whatever, and then they would, you know, film this encounter and then say to the person, well, now we've got you in our pocket, okay? I mean, it's really it's atrocious what they do, and drugs are a major part of how they can control people.
Well, you know, this whole story is so incredible. This is why we carry the book Bluebird, and it's written by Dr. Colin Ross, who spent 20 years deprogramming many of these people where they have intentionally created dissociations. They've actually created mental disease in people. Now, he bases his book in part on 15,000 pages of CIA documents he was able to get under the Freedom of Information Act. And then, of course, upon many of these articles were actually written in medical journals by psychiatrists who took large grants from the government to create disease in people. And those of you who haven't heard my interviews with Colin Ross really need to. And, of course, it just overlaps so much of what Barbara is telling us tonight. These things do not happen by accident. They happen as part of a long-range plan. They wanted to know how to control people's minds. And, of course, we hear now that we have captured the old Sheikh, Caleb Sheikh Mohammed, the number three man, Osama bin Laden. And suddenly he's talking and telling our interrogators all sorts of things. Well, of course, they know how to use these drugs and sleep deprivation to get people to do whatever they want them to do. They've been working going all the way back to the time of the Nazi scientists to learn how to do that. Isn't that true?
That's absolutely true. And I should mention something else, which I think the listeners might find interesting, that you know, they had these certain mind control programmers. And one of the programmers that I had since early childhood was a man named William Jennings Bryan III. And actually, what I later found out, and this was, God, I think I only found this out in about 1997 or so, is that it's reputedly William Jennings Bryan III was the same programmer that worked on Sirhan Sirhan. Okay? And interestingly enough, he has a lawyer now, you know. He has a lawyer, and his lawyer called a mutual friend, okay? A mutual friend, and asked this individual, who I'm not going to tell you his name, but asked this individual if I would like to speak to this lawyer, that maybe I would like him to take my case as well. Okay? So, I mean, he'd obviously found out about my case. He obviously was privy to some kind of inside information in which he learned that I had the same programmer as Sirhan Sirhan. And, was interested for that purpose. Now, what does that tell you when you think about it? Think back about a lot of these assassination things. A lot of these people are Manchurian candidates, and that's certainly something they don't want the public to know.
Well, it's very interesting in the book Bluebird by Dr. Ross. He talks about how they've actually been working to create Manchurian candidates. In other words, people who would carry out these acts of violence and have no memory of them at all.
Exactly.
But you could actually trigger them. And, of course, people may remember the movie where Frank Sinatra and of course, where Angela Lansbury turns over the Queen of Diamonds. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, we have an article out of Newsweek magazine where John McCain, who'd been a prisoner of the Vietnamese communists for many years, was asked why he wanted to run for the president, and his response was, why? Because Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds. Now, I assume this was said with tongue-in-cheek, but it was a very interesting comment from a United States senator who had been the prisoner of the Vietnamese communists. And, of course, when one of his torturers, a man who tortured so many of the other prisoners, was here, we have pictures of John McCain just hugging him like an old lost friend. Mm-hmm. So you can't understand that they've developed these techniques of mind control. Do you want to talk to somebody who doesn't believe what you're saying?
Sure, why not?
All right, fine. Well, let's get Peter on the line. Hi, Peter.
Right.
Why do you not believe what Barbara's saying?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. It's really hard for me to believe when I haven't heard anything concrete.
All right. Would you like to read something about MK Ultra and these programs? Would you like to read the Senate hearings? Have you gone into the background of the Senate hearings on MK Ultra programs?
I've been listening to your
right.
speaker, and the vague comments about I was abducted in the middle of the night, and then off she goes to, you know, they do that kind of thing, and then I was drugged.
Mm-hmm. Well, you obviously don't believe what she's saying then.
Well, it's hard for me to believe. I'm trying to. I'd love to believe that things like this go on. I find it fascinating. I know that there's a lot of stuff on heaven and earth and are dreamt of in the philosophies of men, certainly. But it's just hard for me to believe your guest because these catchphrases, Nazis, William Jennings Bryan, Sarah Hand, a friend who, this guy that I can't name, there's all these beggaries.
Well, of course.
I'd love to hear something like Joe Smith, who is XYZ, came to me on the 13th. We did this.
All right, fine. But, of course, we have no means of document this. The only thing that we have is I've heard these same stories over and over and over again. I've looked into MK Ultra and the mind control programs.
Yeah. I'm not saying that these things don't exist.
Right.
I'm not saying, certainly, that you haven't done your homework. What I am saying is that it's really hard for me to believe your guess because I don't hear anything concrete. Now, I've heard other things. I've heard concrete things very recently about Alan Douglas and the Saudi Arabia connection and their connection with the Third Reich. I mean, you know, those kind of things are realistic to me. We've got names. We've got people who are doing things. We've got real-world events that are really taking place. Saudi Arabia is a made-up country. This happened after the war with the Nazis. I mean, these are real things.
All right, fine. Well, of course, there's no way we have of verifying what she says. Do you know anything about Chip Tatum? Now, she's talked about Chip Tatum. Do you know anything about Chip Tatum?
I don't know a thing about Chip
Tatum.
Basically,
I have a number of interviews with Chip Tatum. I told the story about L.D. Brown, who was hired by the CIA to kill Terry Reid, who we've had as a guest, too.
Sure.
We talked to a lot of these people, but you have certainly a right perfectly to be skeptical, Peter. You have to ultimately decide whether to believe her or not. I happen to believe her. You don't. Anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, no. I'm just saying it's hard for me to believe when I'm not getting anything concrete from her. I'd like for her to start talking about something concrete that I can get my teeth on.
Well, of course, I think that what she said is very concrete, but you don't. I would just simply say that if you'd like it, you might even want to get a copy of this book. Read aside. It lists 4,000 CIA assets. One of them happened to be my next-door neighbor here in Santa Cruz. Anyway, look, thanks so very much for calling, Peter. And that was Peter, and he doesn't believe you because you haven't said anything concrete. I think you said a lot that was concrete.
Okay, well, let me just make a comment there, Stan. This may sound strange, but I encourage people to be skeptical. I don't expect anyone to believe anything I say, much less everything I say. I also know, I'm not saying this is the case here, but I'll get into something else here in just a minute to give you an example of what I'm talking about. I also know that they have chills out there, if you know what I'm saying. people that are, they're put up to making these phone calls in order to try to discredit a guest that may be telling the truth. So it's a possibility that this is the case. I can't say for sure. However, I'm never offended. You know, I don't expect people to believe, all right? I encourage people to do their own research, which you obviously have done, Stan, okay? And since you've heard the commonalities in so many of these stories for so many years, I think you have the ability to gauge whether something that someone is saying may be the truth. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, you certainly have. You, basically, how do you get along? Are you making a lot of money?
I'm not making any money. I mean, that's one of the things that is so disheartening. What many people don't understand is once they start up a neutralization campaign against an individual that has come out of something like this, they will move heaven and earth, if possible, to do everything in their power to destroy you. And certainly one of the things that they do is one of the most typical campaigns is to ruin you financially. I am totally destitute financially. I have nothing. You know, it's just through the grace of God and through contributions that I've gotten from the public supporters, and my son has helped me a lot. You know, I have nothing. I have no money at all. I have no bank accounts, no credit cards. I'm a ghost in the system. And so, no, I don't make any money at this. And the only possibility I really have, I'm working on a book right now, which hopefully I can get out within a reasonable period of time where I will be able to make some money. I don't get paid for the articles that I write. My webmaster works for free. Everything is volunteer, you know, so no, there's no money to be made. And this is something that I wanted to get into about the disinformation campaigns that are being run by people at the top levels of the government in order to discredit people like myself. The latest thing, which I really had to laugh when I saw this, but what they did is, you know, I have a person over in the UK, and he has a website called 911UK. It's a wonderful site. It's got a lot of information. But anyway, I got to be friends with this person just through the internet, and he'd read my articles. And he volunteered to set up a domain name for me, which is BarbaraHartwell.com. Before that, I just had a little, you know, website that was off my local server. I couldn't even remember to give it to anybody. If somebody asked me, how do I get your website, I couldn't remember all the little letters and numbers they would have to come up with. So he set up this domain name, BarbaraHartwell.com, for me. And recently, over the past several months, suddenly, it was discovered in some of these search engines. You can put in the domain name, you know, and it'll tell you what is the contact information for this website. Well, guess what contact information came up in these major search engines, like all, I think it's Who All Is and some other ones like that. Guess who was reported on this search engine to be sponsoring my website?
Who was it?
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the White House. So, okay, so now it was evident to me when I looked at this, and because what happened is some of the spooks hacked in. They put it in there because they couldn't discredit me. They had tried to discredit me as a nutcase. Oh, this is a nutcase, false memory, as you were saying, or some nutcase. That didn't work out. This has been going on for years. You have to remember, I've been out for 10 years, almost 10 years, 9 years, okay? And so the first they tried the nutcase angle. Oh, this is one of the tinfoil hat crowd, okay, a nutcase. She's making this up. She's crazy. That didn't work out. So then they went to the next step, which was, oh, I'm still under mind control. She's still under mind control, and that didn't work out. And the final phase of what they're doing now they're saying I'm a CIA mole, that I'm still really working for the government, and that I'm a disinformation agent. So they put this thing into this search engine, and then they disseminated this. They put it out to some people out there who are basically just, you know, they're not disinformation specialists or anything. These are just people with big mouths who like to hear themselves talk. They have websites, and, you know, they think they know more than they know. And these are people that, for whatever reason, hate me. And so they put this out. And the next thing I know, I'm getting all these things out. Barbara Hartwell, check it out. Check it out for yourself. Her website is sponsored by the White House. So, I mean, when I saw that, I was just laughing. And I said to myself, my God, they must be desperate to do something like this, okay? This is how they operate.
Well, I know. I mean, it's amazing. You know, this actually happened to us. Somebody had a website up there, and they said, you know, Stanley Monteith or Radio Liberty. Radio Liberty is a CIA organization. Well, that's a half-truth. There is a Radio Liberty that's put out by the CIA, but we're not that Radio Liberty. And then it had a long dissertation on Barbara Monteith, my wife. But it was not Barbara Monteith, my wife. It was another Barbara Monteith. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it talked about I belong to an organization that's known as the CNB, where a lot of prominent conservative Christians belong, and some people I don't necessarily like belong to it. But, of course, this long, extensive attack, you know, in an effort to discredit me. So I figured I must be doing something right if they'd go to all that trouble and accuse me of being a CIA organization. Right?
That's what you know. If you are being hit this hard, you know you're on the right track. You're doing something right. And I can tell you that one of the things that I'm very, very disturbed, Stan, that's happening now. There's a lot of the people that are coming out with this just amazing libelous information, libel and slander of me. I call them the sowers of discord and the bearing of false witness. Are these so-called Christian organizations? And it amazes me. I don't consider these people to be Christians. I mean, there's one particular guy out in Oregon that's mounted this campaign against me, and he put out some kind of a report about me, and he called me the Dark Judas Goat Subversive. Okay? Dark Judas Goat Subversive, who's a bogus patriot and a bogus Christian.
I see.
Okay?
Is his first name James by any chance?
No.
All right, well, that's...
No.
No,
I can...
It doesn't matter.
We'll
talk off the air about it.
Yes, I can... I mean, I can tell you his name if you want to know.
No, we'll talk about it off the air. But
okay, but let me just say that the same individual last year had tried to insinuate himself into the good graces of my friend, a very dear friend, an ex-FBI agent who's a whistleblower. His name is Gerald Sosby, and he's got a website. This man, you know, tried to insinuate himself into Gerald's good graces. And then he tried to get to me through Gerald. He kept emailing him and calling him and telling him, I must be in touch with Barbara Hartwell. And I just blew the guy off. I thought there was something wrong with this guy. And I said, no, I don't have any reason to want to get into communication with this individual. Anyway, shortly after that, he launched a vicious attack on Gerald Sosby. I mean, just he went from pretending to be a friend and a supporter, calling Gerald an FBI hero because he came out and told the truth, you know, and defended the Constitution and everything else. And they're harassing Gerald, unbelievable persecution that's coming his way from this. And so anyway, when I saw this attack, it was by an email. He just, it was terrible, terrible things he was saying. So I wrote a letter in defense of Gerald, and it went all over the Internet. And I basically nailed this guy and said, look, you should be ashamed of yourself for doing this to this person. And I guess then the guy had a vendetta against me by that point because he could not get close to me as he tried to do in the beginning. Then he attacked my friend from the FBI, and I nailed him on that. And now the latest is I'm the Judas Goat Subversive, and they're calling me a witch. Because I've admitted I mean, this is the thing. You feel like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
We're going to have to get into a lot of these things in the next hour. I'm going to have to, we'll just sort of hold that thought.
Okay.
About you being a witch.
And, okay.
But I have to tell our listeners up in the Great Northwest that Radio Liberty is really primarily listener supported. And if you believe that there's a problem out there, that behind what we're talking about are organized evil forces, and that they will try to discredit and destroy anybody who is getting the truth out. If you'd like to become part of our team, Radio Liberty has heard 5 hours every single day, weekday, and 35 stations on the weekend. Wish it was 350 stations or 600 stations, but we're doing pretty well, and with your help, we can expand and continue expanding. Hope that many of you would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like more information about our ministry, why, of course, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, hopefully you can pull down our newsletters, see some of the things we've written. You can listen to our programs live 3 hours every day if you're in an area where you can't get our programs on shortwave. And then, of course, there are two other programs you can get to, the AmericanNewsNet.com and GCNLive.com. And then please help us to get the truth out across America while we still can. America is moving into very, very difficult times at the present time. I believe that we are in the prelude of World War III. I believe that God is going to bring his judgment on this land because this land is turned against God. And the only thing that's going to turn it around is a revival. And I think the only way we're going to have a revival is when people understand that, of course, we're involved in a spiritual battle and feel convicted. Well, maybe terrible things will have to happen to get people's attention. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders, our ministers. Pray for our boys going into battle and for their families. And please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, we'll be back here on this same station. Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or certainly here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And, of course, we certainly want you to go to Barbara Hartwell's website. It's barbarahartwell.com. That's Barbara Hartwell, HARTWELL.com. It's a beautiful website, a lot of great articles there. And, of course, Barbara has been working for some time to try to awaken the American people to what the CIA is really all about. And anybody who studied the CIA would realize that they kill people. And they have been involved in all sorts of horrible and nefarious things. And if you'd want to document that, we have a wonderful book we carry. It's called Double Crossed. It was written by the brother of the head of the mafia, Sam Giancano. It was written by Chuck Giancano and Sam Giancano, who is the godson of the older one. And, of course, it goes into how the mafia worked for years with the Central Intelligence Agency. And, of course, the mafia the CIA let the mafia distribute their drugs. The CIA would bring in the drugs. The mafia would distribute them. But then the mafia, in return, would do the assassinations, except they wouldn't assassinate President Kennedy. They just said they might be criminals, but they weren't crazy. And so Sam Giancano had turned that down. We heard from other people that certainly the people in the mafia in both New York and Florida turned down the offer to kill President Kennedy, so they had to go to Marcier to get the assassins, and that's all covered in the book. Regicide, of course, it's based upon the papers of Mr. Crowley, and if you want to read the papers, they're all right there. An excellent book. We certainly recommend people get the book, read it, and you'll find the list of 4,000 people who were, people that Mr. Crowley felt that he could depend upon. 4,000 people, some of the major news anchors that you see regularly on television are listed there, certainly very close to the Central Intelligence Agency, and using their positions of trust to deceive the American people to go along with their agenda. Well, our telephone number again, 464-8295, our guest, Barbara Hartwell. And right now we've got Danny, and Danny's calling from, of all places, Santa Cruz. Hi, Danny. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I've been listening for the last hour and hearing all the interesting things that you and Barbara have been saying back and forth. And, you know, I suppose it's possible that you're both a couple of scoundrels trying to mislead the public, but I don't take it that way. And when the last guest came on with all his doubt and stuff, the first thing that came into my mind was that he was working on behalf of the people you're talking about to discredit her. And I just, you know, she said something in that direction later on, and after he hung up, but I just wanted to let her know that that's the impression that I had of him before she opened her mouth about the subject. And I think that she's got a lot to say, and I'm listening.
I think she's a very courageous lady, and you know, I'll tell you what, Danny. When people told me I should get Barbara Hartwell on, I was a little suspicious at first too, because there are a lot of people out there with stories, and you always wonder, are they really true or not? So I called Barbara, and I spent, maybe 15 or 20 minutes talking to her. But she certainly not only did what she say ring true with what I have found out by studying what the CIA has been up to, but also, of course, she knew many of the people that I had come to know through the years, Chuck Tatum, Chip Tatum, and, of course, we had a number of excellent interviews with him, and then Chip just sort of disappeared, and I think he fled for literally for his life, because he had been an assassin for the CIA, you know. And then having talked to L.D. Brown, and L.D. Brown wouldn't come on, but he was hired as an assassin to kill somebody who was critical of President Bush, and this is Herbert Walker Bush. This is the way things really work. You remember, of course, Herbert Walker Bush was the head of the CIA for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is enough documentation out there. We have the MKUltra reports, the Senate reports on MKUltra. We have, of course, Dr. Ross's book, Bluebird. And there's no question at all that we have a very organized center of evil in Washington, D.C., operating out of the CIA. And, of course, after the 9/11 attack, the president went to visit George Tenet and congratulated him for a job well done. Now, if he really had failed in guarding America, he should have been fired. How could he have done a good job And why would the president have kept on George Tenet, who was actually appointed by Bill Clinton, and left him continue there, especially after 3,000 people were dead, unless there was another reason for the attack?
Yeah, well, I wish I could just be an ostrich, put my head back in the sand, pretend that I'd never heard your program, and consider you to be a bunch of troublemakers just stirring things up. But I'm still listening, and the more I listen, the more I know.
God bless you. Thank you. You know what happens to ostriches when they put their head in the ground, don't you?
They get kicked in the ass.
No. Somebody comes along with a knife and slices off the head.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. This is Dr. Stan here. And because we lived in Africa, and we'd see these ostriches, you know, sometimes, because they had lots of ostrich farms there. Not too far from where we were, and you'd see the ostriches with their head in the sand. Of course, they weren't going to ordinarily kill them, if they were on the farm, because you want them to lay eggs, and they'd ride the ostriches and get their feathers, and of course, they'd kill them for meat occasionally, but, you know, they were a lot more valuable alive than they were dead. So anyway, our guest is Barbara Hartwell, and so it's 1-1, Barbara, one supporter and one disclaimer, and I'd say you're doing pretty well. Anyway, anybody else out there has a question or comment, but you were talking before we went to the break, you'd been accused of being a witch, but that's really because you have, or they were able to bring out some of this, this almost metaphysical element within you. You are certainly are intuitive, would you say, or mm-hmm. how would you describe the spiritual gift?
Okay. Stan, what I believe is that God bestows gifts of the Spirit on all of us, and each of us has different capabilities in that area. And the gifts of the Spirit that are of the sort of metaphysical nature, certainly, you know, as God intended them to be used, was to be used for healing, like laying on of hands, for instance, or perhaps prophecy getting visions, for the purpose of helping people, you know, helping, not destroying people. And the CIA laid hands on a number of people like myself. They knew that we possessed these gifts of the Spirit, and what they did is they twisted those gifts of the Spirit to their own ends. They tried to usurp the power of God. That's the best way I can say it. And so the irony that I find as if, you know, and again, we were talking about some of these so-called Christians, or they claim to be Christians, and they see anything like that. If I come out and tell the truth about how the CIA used me, you know, even though I say I'm out of there, I'm trying to alert people to the truth of what's really going on, they'll accuse me of being a witch. Oh, she's involved in the occult. She supports the occult. I mean, it's like what Duncan said. I think part of what Duncan may have talked about on your program also, Duncan O'Finn, many of us were trained, you know, in terms of the martial arts, and anyone that knows anything about the martial arts knows that it's not a totally physical science. There's use of energy there, you know, and in other words, being able to strike at an opponent from a distance, not touching the person physically.
You're talking about a spiritual energy, harnessing the occult, right?
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that these gifts of the Spirit, okay, in and of themselves, just the capabilities of the Spirit, in and of themselves, are not evil. Obviously, the CIA would use these capabilities in individuals to do evil, so things that are just really bizarre. They sound like science fiction, but they happen, and they're true. So, you know, I come out and I talk about these things and some of the things that I was trained to do and how my gifts of the Spirit bestowed by God were twisted for the use of these people. And it doesn't seem to matter that I've risked my life to tell the truth, or that I'm just saying what happened, you know, and immediately I'm accused of being a witch. Oh, this person is a witch. She's involved in the occult. All right? So that's you know, another thing that they use to try to discredit a person like me. And I'm sure if you've if you've read any of the literature, there have been people that talked about things like remote viewing, which is just simply a form of clairvoyance. I mean, it is not really an unnatural thing. Many people have these gifts of the spirit, you know. You just look at the Bible, for instance. How many people are reported in the Bible to have visitations from angels or gifts of the spirit and prophecy and these things are natural things. I believe they're natural things bestowed by God, and we're meant to use them in service of God, okay? And what the CIA did is they took people with these gifts, these talents, and they twisted the use of these talents to evil, okay? And that's what I'm trying to say. So it's a real hard thing to talk about, because you get a lot of indoctrination. I have found in the so-called Christian community, where people are indoctrinated to believe that everything has to be a certain way, or if you were ever involved in this, you're of the devil. That woman is of the devil. She's a witch. But if I didn't talk about these things, about what had happened to me, how would I ever be able to alert people that the government has been using these things?
That's really so interesting. I've heard about this. We actually have a movie with Lou Gossett Jr., and it deals with the military trying to harness these supernatural gifts. It's one of the most gripping Christian videos I've ever seen. It's called Deceived, and we have it in video or DVD if anybody's interested in it. We've carried it simply because, of course, it is fictional, but it's telling basically what you're talking about. And we know that they have tapped into the supernatural. We know that Barbara Marks Hubbard, who was deeply involved with the occult, was a consultant for the Special Forces unit. And a lot of the people in the Special Forces have gotten into the supernatural. Have you run into that at all?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, most of my closest friends now are people that are former Special Forces. I worked with them extensively because I was trained to debrief them and do psychological profiles. And I can tell you that the use of the occult, and unfortunately even Satanism, is rampant. It is absolutely rampant. The two are not the same, by the way. You know, you can say the occult, the meaning of the word occult, it just means hidden. It's not necessarily evil by definition, but certainly Satanism is evil, and twisting the gifts of the spirit that God meant us to use for the glory of God or service of God, that is certainly evil. It's certainly evil to use these gifts of the spirit to harm people, to assassinate people, all that. And
but you know what they have to do is they have to sear the soul to get people to be willing to kill. In the Medusa file, I don't know if you know Craig Roberts at all, but
I don't know him. No.
But in his book, he tells about a man named Greenbaum who had actually was just as a child had been tortured in the Nazi concentration camps, and then he of course went over to the evil side, and he came to the United States.
Dr. Green,
that's right. And Dr. Green came here, and his specialty was training children and indoctrinating them. And he found if he could get them into theosophy and Kabbalism and Satanism, then, of course, he could create somebody who had no conscience. Because Satan says, look, you can do whatever you want to. Satan gives you total freedom. There is no God. There are no restrictions. There are no Ten Commandments. You are totally free under that system. And so there would be no compunctions to kill or to torture or to do anything else. And that is, of course, what Dr. Green was hired by our CIA. He was brought from Germany, and he was hired by the CIA to do that. That's all covered in the book, The Medusa File. And of course, any of these things you'd like to know more about them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. I think The Medusa File is the best overall view of so much of what's going on here in America you'll find any other place. Did you remember Dr. Green because I talked about it in one of our previous programs, or had you heard of him on your own?
Oh no, I've known about Dr. Green for many years. In fact, I've interviewed a number of people that came to me, and the best way I can say what they came to me for was to be deprogrammed, okay? I've heard just a lot of testimony about Dr. Green, and what you're saying is absolutely true. I mean, there's they have a lot of I'm almost at a loss for words to describe what I have witnessed and what I know about, but certainly in the psychological realm, they need to condition people, and I think this is true a lot of the military people too, Stan. I mean, not just especially special forces, okay? Because they do the dirty work for the CIA. I'm sure you've heard that before, okay? But they need to condition people to dissociate from their humanity, from their spirituality, from their conscience, and they want them to believe that you are a god unto yourself, or there is no god, or you're not accountable to God for what you do. This is how they get people to commit atrocities. The average human being, I don't think, is capable of doing these sorts of things unless they've been conditioned in some way.
I think you're absolutely right. We've got Nathan calling in from Contra Costa. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
Hi. First, a brief comment and then a question. The brief comment is that I'm sure that this evil doctor trained them, you know, I'm following the law. I'm sure that evil, we'll put it this way, I'm sure that the evil people involved in mind control, whoever they may be, train people in something that they would call Kabbalah, but it certainly isn't the true Kabbalism. But anyways, my main question is, I've been listening tonight with rapt fascination, and, you know, I'll admit, I don't really know what to believe. I do know MKUltra is true, but, you know, I'm not sure what to believe. But I'll just ask the lady, how far up does this go? In other words, is this a kind of lower-level enclave here, or does this compromise some very big names, this information that you're giving out? Does this really extend up into, I believe Kathy O'Brien is her name. Does it extend into some of the areas she goes into, or is it mainly lower-level people?
Okay.
Okay.
First of all, let me just say, I have to make a disclaimer here and explain something. Kathy O'Brien was not used at the top levels, okay? My situation is absolutely and totally different. And my answer to the second question about how far does it go, it goes all the way to the top.
Oof.
Okay? It goes all the way to the top. There's absolutely no doubt about it. One thing that I think would be interesting for the listeners to understand is about the arranged marriages. Okay, and I mentioned before that I came from a CIA family. Well, I had two arranged marriages. And the first arranged marriage that I had let me say it this way, that my ex-husband, his mother is a Walker, okay? The Walker family, as in Bush Walker, all right? They keep it in the family, so to speak, okay? They make sure to marry you to somebody who's in the same so-called bloodline, which they consider to be elite bloodlines. I mean, that's their term, not mine. But it absolutely goes all the way to the top at the level that I'm speaking of what I was involved in. And, you know, when you look at these people that were utilized, as Kathy O'Brien was, a so-called sex slave, a presidential model, as they call themselves, that's not the real black operation. Trust me on that, if you will, but we're not talking about intelligence work here with these people. We're talking about something that's at a much lower level and unfortunately is being used. These cases, such as Kathy O'Brien, in my opinion, are being used to create a sort of a sideshow. And I am not in any way trying to discredit Kathy O'Brien or what she went through or the horrors. I certainly believe much of what I know about her story. But this is what they want the public to focus on when they come into the realm of MK Ultra. They want people to believe that it's all these, you know, nefarious sex slave operations. They don't want people to know that the much higher level military and intelligence operations, and the kind of things that I was involved in, where we're talking about serious matters of what they consider to be national security, it's just not the same thing.
But you've indicated her story.
Pardon me?
You know the
right. Let me say this. I can tell you this. I don't know Kathy O'Brien. I can tell you one thing, that her husband Mark Phillips. It's common knowledge, at least among those of us, some of us anyway, that have been involved in the higher level black operations, that Mark Phillips is still working for the CIA. He is Kathy O'Brien's handler, not a rescuer. That's my opinion. And a few years ago, Mark Phillips tried to discredit me. I had never met this man. I'd never known him. And he came out publicly and started saying things about me on the Internet. And I finally confronted him and just said, listen, Mr. Phillips, you need to mind your own business, okay? He tried to tell me that I should not, and tell the public that I should not be talking about the persecution that I was under. He tried to discredit me by saying that I didn't have any documents, I didn't have anything concrete, just like the caller, okay, the earlier caller that we had. I don't have a lot of documents. I have a few things. My files are so highly classified, they're maximum classified. Nobody can get their hands on my files. I've been praying for years that I can get those files, because they're the smoking gun, okay? In fact, I had a friend of mine whose name is Oswald LeWinter. I think I mentioned him before. He was a very famous, or maybe we could even say infamous, spook from way back, involved since the days of the OSS. He told me he knows where my files are hidden. He's been following my case for years, and he just recently sort of came out of the woodwork and contacted me. We've become very good friends, and he has corroborated a lot of the information that I've known for years but had no source to really corroborate. So I can say that at the top levels, it's almost impossible to get solid documentation. Most of us can only say what happened to us. That's what I do. I simply talk about what I know. If I don't know about something, I don't speak about it. I say that I don't know.
And finally, what about the Lynn and Cheryl Hersha story?
Okay. Well, I believe that to be a credible story. I can tell you that I've become friends with Dale Griffith, who was one of the co-authors of the book.
No. What? Tell me about the book. What's the name of it?
Secret Weapons.
Secret Weapons, okay.
Yes. And actually, I have a copy of it right here. Secret Weapons, the Two Sisters' Terrifying True Story of Sex, Spies, and Sabotage. I do believe that this story is a true story, okay? I read the book, and I don't know the Hersha sisters personally, but there's just too much in there, especially about the military stuff, okay? Because that was like one of the major areas of my training. I had a tremendous amount of military training, what you'd call Delta class training, you know, Delta Force combat training and all that. And it's not the most usual thing for women. I have not run into many women that have had that kind of training. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why my story appears to be less credible when people hear it on these sorts of shows. Because I was never utilized in any way as a sex slave or something. I was certainly considered too valuable to be wasted in that way, and it wouldn't have worked out because I don't have a submissive bone in my body. I would have killed somebody who tried to touch me. And the same holds true today. I think people don't realize how they invest. In other words, how they assess a person and know, what they can use them for. And it's a double-edged sword in many ways, because at the top level, the operative is always a risky proposition. A person like me is a risky proposition. And I think that goes back to any kind of operations where people were utilized in the ways that I was. If you have a sort of a real independent streak and a contempt for authority, if you're basically by nature a lone gun, on one hand, they can utilize you in ways because they know that you have the creativity and the autonomy to get away with things and do things and make decisions on your feet that somebody with a submissive personality just doesn't have, if that makes sense, okay? But then, of course, they're taking a risk because it can blow up in their face, and in my case, it certainly did.
Okay, Nathan, finally, does that answer your question?
One last thing, I can take it off the air, but were you told explicitly that you were going to be used? I believe Lynn and Cheryl Hersha were told that they were going to be used specifically as shock troops during the time of the breakdown of law and order and the suspension of the Constitution. Were you told this explicitly? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
I can give it on the air.
Well, go ahead.
The answer is no.
All right. And Nathan asked, you know, how far to the top does this go? Well, you remember when the Clintons were in the White House and Hillary brought Jean Houston, who is a psychic, into the White House to conjure up the spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mohandas Gandhi. I have a very good friend of mine who was, accumulated a great deal of information about the witches' coven meetings that were held in the White House when Hillary was there. But a friend told her that if she wrote the article, it would cost her life, and so my friend didn't write the article. But, of course, Hillary may be the next president of the United States. Is that high enough up for you? But don't feel bad. You remember that Nancy Reagan was going to her astrologer on a regular basis to get advice for the president so he would know how to run the country. We have, of course, the cult at the highest levels of our society, and, of course, the people don't really understand the implications of what's going on, that all of the wars of the last century were fought not at all to, for the reasons we were given, but to advance this idea of a one-world government which has its foundation in the whole concept of bringing the Antichrist to power. That's what it's really all about. That's the primary motivation behind it. And we're in real trouble as a nation because, of course, the church will not address these issues. They will not address the true spiritual nature of the battle that's going on today. And if the church won't address it, who will? A few people talking on radio to a small audience. Well, of course, if you are out there, you have an obligation to find if this is true or not. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And then, of course, you need to get the other information that is available on our website. Go to radioliberty.com, pull down the information there, and help us to get the truth out across America while we still can. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Barbara Hartwell. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this evening is Barbara Hartwell, and we're talking about, well, her experiences working with the CIA, and you were with them for how many years altogether then? Did they actually take you on full-time, in your 20s, early 20s, or when?
Well, I can say that, remember, aside from some of the memories being wiped out, I can say that I was utilized certainly from adulthood, which would have been from the age of 18, okay? I'm talking about actually being utilized from that point up until 1994. So I guess, let me think, I must have been like 41.
Well, now, why did you finally decide to leave? After all, you know, some people spend all of their lives working for the CIA. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's comfortable, they give you a good a good salary, and they treat you well, at least, and you're just expected to serve them and serve the nefarious purposes of these wicked people who run this organization from behind mm-hmm. the scenes.
Well, the way I can best say it is that I battled these people for years to get out. Okay, it took me many years of battling. I was always fighting with them. I was never easy to control. There were many skirmishes. You know, I'm just that type of a person. And it took me years to get out. We're talking about years of fighting with them to get out. And yes, they, let me say it this way, most of the jobs that I had were sort of, let's say a lot of the jobs were on the outside, if you know what I mean, working through front companies.
You mean they have front companies, they have front, they have businesses here that are really...
Cutouts, oh, they have a lot of business in front companies, and usually I would be hired on contract, okay, I was a contract employee, which basically means I was functioning on loan from the CIA, a CIA asset, so to speak, and I would be hired on these jobs, and yes, I was very well paid. I mean, I had some jobs where I would have a limo to come and pick me up. I mean, I made a lot of money, but they never allowed me to have anything, any security or stability. That was how they kept control. In other words, as long as I was going along with the program, doing what they wanted me to do, I was sort of taken care of, you know, well paid, taken care of. And, you know, that's basically how they operate. If you've heard of intermittent reinforcement, that's a concept that I believe was put forth by B.F. Skinner. And by the way, B.F. Skinner, behavior modification, all that stuff was used certainly in the mind control operations and even in the operations that were not deep black things. Just if you take just a so-called normal operative, you know, and this is not somebody that was necessarily came out of the MK Ultra program, they needed or they felt the need to own that person and to control that person. So they would use something called intermittent reinforcement, which means that they would give you sustenance and approval and whatever they thought that would keep you going, and then they would withdraw it, and then you would have to keep going along with the program in order to maintain that, you know.
No, they're playing games with their mind.
Oh, absolutely, and with your security and it's, you mentioned something before, I think it was in connection to April Oliver, the journalist, but they certainly, for many years, in order to keep me in line, they would threaten my family. Now, in 1976, I gave birth to a son, which was the only child that I was allowed to keep, okay? I mean, they do this genetic engineering, they've stolen DNA from me and other people that they have really sophisticated genetic programs where they can create, you know, babies and, you know, test tube, and I mean, it's unbelievable. But anyway, I was allowed to keep this one child that I gave birth to, and then to keep me in line, they used him against me. In other words, they threatened him, not him directly, but through me. They would say, well, if you don't do such and such, your child, we know who your child is. Just the same thing that you were saying. They will, and I went for many years, and you have to understand that in the early years of this, especially when he was a child, I didn't have a conscious awareness of much of what I was doing. In other words, I didn't know a lot of the time who I was really working for. I would just get these jobs, and I had some consciousness of it, I would say, but I didn't, and so therefore you can imagine when you're getting these messages continually about your child, I became a tremendously overprotective mother. I watched him like a hawk, and I also trained him, though. I trained him in what I knew to make sure that he would be able to take care of himself and defend himself, and that they could never get their hands on him the way they had done with me. Certainly, I fought the school system. They tried to put him on Ritalin. They said he had attention deficit disorder and all kinds of nonsense. And I had to have a court battle to stop that, and I won. In other words, I was not going to allow these people to compromise my child. This is certainly how they operate intergenerationally. It's almost assumed if you come out of one of these families, you belong to us. We own you. We created you, and we will use you as we see fit.
All right, fine. Now, of course, you commented that you worked a great deal with the special forces, and
yes.
They actually play a lot of mind games with the special forces, don't they? And
they
hypnosis,
absolutely.
And you know, they will hypnotize them over and over again, and they really want to create a perfect soldier who has no conscience. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. I mean, the phrases like the perfect spy, that's what I was created, or so they thought, to be the perfect spy, the ultimate warrior, the perfect soldier. I've debriefed a lot of these people, which is actually how I learned a lot of what I know about what some of these people were utilized for. I mean,
they utilized for?
Well, much of it was assassination, Manchurian candidates. A lot of the special forces, as I mentioned before, they were known for doing the dirty work for the CIA. In fact, Vietnam was the big playground there. I mean, if you've heard of something called Shadow Company, they utilized many of these special forces to be involved in the drug running operations of the CIA. They would be at CIA installations in Southeast Asia. One of the worst things that I know about, which I found to be the most disturbing, was in connection with the POW MIA situation. You know, they actually had programs in the government where the government killed its own POWs to stop them from coming back here and talking about what really went on. And there was one particular operation. This is not known. I have never mentioned this on a public radio show before or in public. The code name was Operation Groundfire, in which the government actually took out their own POWs to make sure they would never come home. And it's sickening to me. When you read on, if you go on the internet and you look at some of these sites and they have POW, MIA, and people that were members of a certain unit, for instance, they're looking. They put out, we are looking for these individuals, and they list the names that they're missing in action or POWs, and they're desperately trying to get information. If you've heard from this person, please let us know. And a lot of these people are dead. Unfortunately, they were never meant to come home.
Well, now, why didn't they want them to come home?
Because of their involvement in some of these black operations where they were utilized as Manchurian candidates. They were under mind control. They did commit atrocities in these black operations, and they certainly don't want the information out there.
Well, were these people from Operation Phoenix, or what were they
from? Yes, some of them were for Operation Phoenix was the big one. Another one was Operation Gladio, which is a much lesser-known operation.
Now, what was Operation Gladio?
Now, Operation Gladio was international hit squads. It didn't just involve the CIA. It involved other countries, where it was basically terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism.
I think it's so interesting that the prime minister of of Yugoslavia, who, of course, had been very much pro-American. Then more recently, he's involved in selling war materials to Iraq. And within the last month or so, he was killed by an unknown assassin. And nobody has any idea who killed him. He just suddenly shot from a distance, and that's the end of the prime minister of Yugoslavia.
It's definitely along the same lines. I mean, these operations, I mean, Phoenix, I have debriefed some of what they called the top shooters in Operation Phoenix, okay? And unfortunately, some of these people, you know, what they'll do with some of them is, through the VA hospitals, they have a whole racket through the VA hospitals. I call the VA hospitals the Roach Motel. They check in, but they don't check out. I mean, these people have come back, and most of the Vietnam veterans are probably around my age, or some of them are a little older, maybe up to 10 years older than I am. But basically, these are very damaged individuals, you know, with battle fatigue. They used to call it combat fatigue. Now they call it post-traumatic stress disorder. It's sort of the same thing. But through these VA hospitals, that they keep these people drugged. They put some of them are on full disability or partial disability due to the PTSD, and they'll put them in these groups, like these so-called support groups. Basically, what they're doing is just reprogramming them or keeping them quiet. They put them on drugs, and if it's thought that some of them might, like, be breaking out, you know, so to speak, okay, breaking out of the programming and might want to go public and talk, one of the options that they have is that they eliminate them, okay? And so it's just a whole racket. It's a whole system in which here's our soldiers, these are people that I tremendously respect. These were patriotic individuals who wanted to serve their country and ended up getting screwed by the government one way or another. The reason I know this is because I have debriefed so many of them, and they've told me.
Who were you debriefing them for? Were you debriefing them for the CIA? Were you debriefing them for the VA, or who were you? Or do you even know who you're debriefing them for?
Well, let me say it this way: most of the people that I'm talking about, I debriefed them after I got out.
Okay, fine. Okay.
In other words, what I'm telling you is, this was not anything. I did this because I care, because I wanted to help these people. All right. I was trained by the CIA to create psychological profiles and debrief military intelligence personnel at these operations. A lot of the things that I've learned, and some of which I've gone public with, happened, this was done of my own volition. People would contact me. It started out usually just people read my website. I can't tell you how many. I mean, Duncan is an example. Duncan O'Finnan, people would read my website, and they would start to get these flashbacks, and they would say, oh, gee, you know, God, what she's describing is so similar to what I know happened to me. And they'll contact me, and then we'll start talking. And some of these people...
We're going to have to interrupt you, because we've got Leif calling from Norway, and I want to get him off here. He's paying for the call. Hi, Leif. How are you doing?
Okay.
Haven't heard from you in a long time.
Well, I've been listening.
All right, fine. Do you have a question for Barbara?
Yes. I would like to know, because I have suspicions that these things also might go on in Europe and also in Norway, if Barbara knows anything about those things.
Do you know anything at all about these intelligence agencies over in Europe? Does the CIA have agencies over there, or do they work with the domestic intelligence in Europe?
Oh, they absolutely do. And I mean, I can't say that Norway I really don't know anything about. I can certainly say that they have what I would call liaisons, or they certainly have installations They have station chiefs, I know, in every area of the world, you know, and they certainly do cooperate with it, with internationally with other intelligence agencies, and particularly this project that I was talking about, Gladio. I mean, that was certainly an international operation.
Well, what was Gladio?
Okay, it was Hit Squad, Manchurian Candidate Mind Control operation. And Oswald Lewinter, who I mentioned before, that's my friend, he's living in exile in Portugal. He basically was one of the top people in Operation Gladio, and that's how I learned so much about it. In other words, I exchanged information with him. We knew some of the same people, some of the same operatives that had been trained and utilized under Gladio. And these things are much more widespread and prevalent than has ever come out.
Well, I know that you're a friend of Günter Rosbacher's wife, but did you ever run into Günter Rosbacher in your travels?
No, not that I remember. No, I think that there's a web of connection there. There certainly is. I mean, because Ray Allen is one of my best friends.
Right. Okay, fine. Do you have anything else you'd like to ask, Leif?
Well, I don't want to mess up here, but I just wanted to make sure, Barbara, you are born again. I didn't catch all the program. I'd come a bit late into the program, but you are born again and you know Jesus. I get that, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you spoke about the occult and some occult was good.
Well, I think that
it was good. No, what I think what I was saying, if I could put it this way, is that what I believe is that God bestows gifts of the Spirit on people, to different degrees, and it's how you use it. If you use the gifts of the Spirit for good, to serve God, there's nothing wrong. I mean, this is a natural thing. It's not paranormal, really.
I believe Barbara is clairvoyant. I think that would be a fair statement,
that's
Barbara.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Right.
Well, just wanted to make sure that the Jesus is. It's the center of all those workings, because all the whole—it's not just the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, and those gifts always point to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Always.
But of course, the other side will tend to use those for evil.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
No. That's well. Mind control. I have a suspicion that mind control is big in Europe, in Norway, but I haven't yet found sources to confirm that.
Well, we do have this wonderful new book called Bluebird, written by a psychiatrist in, I believe, Arizona, New Mexico. But, of course, he's just talking about what he's found among Americans. You know, people who come in and say, I keep having these flashbacks. And then, of course, he found they were all the same. And then he got hold of the CIA mind control records and all these articles out of the scientific journals where these psychiatrists had sold their Hippocratic Oath for a large grant. And it intentionally, under CIA auspices, had actually created mental disease.
Yeah, I've been listening to your program, so I'm familiar with that book already.
Right.
Well, God bless you all.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And well, let's go to Bill calling for Santa Cruz. Hi, Bill. Question
Hi,
or comment?
Yes, I wanted to ask your guest about a book I'm just finishing. Actually, it's a set of three books by Cisco Wheeler on the Illuminati mind control programming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know what she thinks about those. And my main question is about the implants that they use on people.
All right, let's ask first of all about Cisco Wheeler.
Okay.
Do you know anything about Cisco
no,
Wheeler?
I have not read the book, okay? I am familiar with her work, and I spoke to her on the phone a couple times. This was years ago, I guess. I think there's a lot of truth in what I have read of her material, but there's one thing that I would say that I disagree with, or at least let me say it never related to me personally. I think that's the designation I need to make, is that they talk about, she and Fritz Springmeier talk about the total something like the total mind control slave.
Yes.
Okay. I don't believe in that, or at least certainly not in many cases. I think that I certainly know in my own case that I was never, ever a total mind-controlled slave.
Well, now, didn't you mention that you weren't Illuminati family, but you were married to a man?
Oh, no, I come out of a so-called Illuminati bloodlines, okay? I mean, these are just...
I heard you mention the Walker family. Is that your
family? Yes, but they, yes. Well,
yes.
No, that's not my family. That was my ex-husband's family.
Right.
There was an arranged marriage there. What I'm saying is that they were arranged marriages between people of these bloodlines, so-called Illuminati.
Yes.
A bloodline.
I understand that.
Okay.
So you are from that, and it has been a lifelong situation for you?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm almost finished. I've got another 50 pages of the book, and it's really a heinous read. You know, it's really a heartbreaker to understand what they do to children and to people all throughout their lives as far as maintaining total control over them, as you know. And
we live in a fallen world.
Most definitely, but I didn't realize it had fallen so far, so hard, that that people actually have it in their hearts to do this to children.
Right.
And so trying to get to a point where something positive can be done, I've had a couple of thoughts on things, many thoughts actually, but a couple of them, I was thinking about the implants. Now, the other things are, you know, somewhat on a spiritual, psychological level, and on all levels actually, but on the implants, I'm kind of wondering, you know, they have the nanocomputers and the canes, what are those chemically activated computers, nanocomputers, basically, that can be injected into your system. And the implants, of course, are larger and more sophisticated.
Well, let's get Barbara's, Barbara's view of the implants.
Well, let me finish asking.
Okay.
The implants, do you think there's any sort of electronic device that would inactivate those, kind of like the police now have a gun that they can point at a car and shut off all electronics in the car?
Okay, let me just say first that I am not, my area of expertise is not technology, okay? I'm not the proper person to ask about that. I can certainly tell you that I've been implanted. There's been a lot of evidence of even bionic technology that was installed into my body. From many years ago, I know that the government has amazing technology that's certainly not known to the public. But as far as the implants, what I know of them is that they can be utilized as transceivers, transponders. They can certainly be utilized to have interface with the brain. In terms of electronic technology, remote electronic technology, almost like a remote control device.
Yes,
that
in fact they have.
Exists. Well, yeah. Oh, they have that. Yeah.
They have them implanted all over the body for different purposes.
That's correct. Yes.
And I'm concerned. I have a friend who's ex Delta Forces, for instance, and he's not Illuminati family that I know of, but more than likely he's been implanted, and. You know, there's enough electronic devices around now that, like I mentioned, that the gun that police have, that they point at a car and pull the trigger and it shoots an electronic pulse that shuts the car down.
Absolutely. They have that. And actually, I've experienced that. I mean, I've experienced things like that in the past. They certainly have technology that can disable an automobile, that can hit a person, that can cause a person to hear voices.
Right.
They have a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah,
they have beams that will actually keep you from totally paralyzed. I talked to a fellow in Special Forces, and he was used as, you know, just an experiment. They were crawling up. You know, these are, you know, really tough soldiers, and they're supposed to be crawling up on this to attack this plane. They're going to attack this vehicle, and suddenly they're all paralyzed. Everybody's whole squad was paralyzed, and they'd simply use some sort of electronic beam to totally paralyze them. If you read the report put out by the Project for the New American Century, they talk about creating soldiers without fear. In other words, a super soldier. And that's in their material, not mine. Hey, anything else you wanted to say, Bill? We've got one more.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that website because that was my next stop after I finished this book. It's been highly recommended.
We got
thanks
one
again
more
for
caller.
A great program, Dr. Stan.
Okay, thanks so much. And you give a call later and we'll try to get to that other website. And let's get to Mary calling from...
Dr. Stan?
Yes, uh-huh.
I'd like to ask Barbara, were you referring in the beginning of the program to manipulation of the Holy Spirit?
No, I don't think so. You weren't referring to the manipulation of the Holy Spirit, were you?
No.
No. Okay. No.
Okay.
I must have
misunderstood you.
No. She was basically talking about the fact that she's clairvoyant, and they wanted to use this talent that she had for evil.
I see. I thought she meant the Holy Spirit. For evil.
No. She said that the Holy Spirit gave people specific talents. I mean, some people, have special talents for I don't know what. And every one of us has a talent given by the Holy Spirit. Some of them are remarkable, and some, some people will just have an amazing memory. Some people will have an amazing voice. Some people will have a spirit of giving or of ministering or things like that. Each one of us has special gifts given. Hey, we're out of time, but thank you so much for calling, Mary.
God bless you.
And you
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Well, this is the time I certainly have to tell our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family and help us do what we do 5 hours every day. And if you believe there's a problem and you'd like to help us, why, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com and listen to our programs 5 hours every day, and you won't get anything accomplished, but maybe just 1 hour or 2 hours a day. But the important thing is to tell others about our programs, to try to get other people listening, to try to get them educated and informed, and beginning to understand the true nature of the battle in which we're engaged. So, Barbara, I want to thank you so very much for being with us tonight, and I'm looking forward to having you perhaps on some of our other programs, that maybe on our Saturday program sometime real soon.
Well, thank you, Stan, for having me, and just to everyone, good night and God bless
you. And you too, bye-bye. Well, I think Barbara is a very, very lady, and she's been on the front lines of this battle, and putting her life on the line, because I will tell you that these are not nice people, and they kill people. And we certainly have many stories we could tell you about that sort of thing, but right now we just ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you again, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you. Thank you.